Turn with me in your Bible to the book of Malachi, chapter 3. Malachi, chapter 3. And we're going to read from verse 8 down to the end of verse 10. And then we're going to go over into 1 Corinthians and chapter 16. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And verse 2. Actually, we'll read verses 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Let's bow our hearts in prayer. Our Father, we ask that as we look into your word this evening, that you would give us hearts that are not only open to hear what you would say to us, but that you would create within us a willingness to obey that which your word says. We pray, our Father, that the Lord Jesus Christ would be exalted, that he would be lifted up, and that we would be richly blessed. We ask now your presence with us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to speak to you this evening on Christian giving, or the grace of giving. And I'm going to do so this evening. I'm going to let myself out a little trap door here, because it was requested of me by the elders. And I understand that the request is that teaching should be given, not that laws should be laid down or burdens that should be created, but that the teaching of the Word of God should be openly given. Now, when it was asked of me, I said, I don't think so, because I believe in tithing as the basis of Christian giving, and I know that some folks here don't. And I was told, bring what the Word of God teaches. I want to suggest to you tonight that there are many things to do with giving that are left out of many messages on giving. First of all, our brother Herbert, when he prayed tonight at the Lord's Supper, when the offering was going to be taken, he thanked the Lord for that part of our worship. I want to suggest to you tonight that the grace of giving, as the Apostle Paul calls it in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, really is a part of Christian worship. Not only giving financially, but what we give of ourselves to the Lord. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And let me establish with you the principle that I believe and practice And the principle that ought to be the principle behind all that we give to the Lord. Second Corinthians chapter 8, we'll read the first few verses. Moreover, brethren, we do, to wit of the grace of God, bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of the Lord. I take offense when preachers tell congregations that the first 10% of all that they have is God's, and God wants it. I take offense at that because the Word of God doesn't teach us that. It teaches us that everything we are and have are the Lord's. Everything we have and are. And that all He asked His people for in the Old Testament was the first fruits of the first 10%. And the Apostle Paul takes the principle of the Old Testament and he applies it to the New Testament, and he says the Lord laid it upon their heart to give, and they gave out of their poverty and they gave willingly. But he says, first of all, they gave their own selves unto the Lord. There are many people today who try to use Christian giving as a way to make themselves feel good, as a way to try and buy God's blessing, as a way to gain favor amongst the fellowship, as a way to get position in God's church. None of those are biblical. None of them. Giving is the worship of a committed heart to Jesus Christ. And if there are problems in giving, then the answer is not maybe teaching on giving, but teaching on how our heart can be right with the Lord. Because when the Lord touches your heart, you'll want to obey Him in every area of life and in everything that you give. Malachi says, will a man rob God? God says, the people of Israel robbed Him. I read that to you tonight to show you how seriously the Lord spoke with regard to tithes and offerings. The Lord looked at His people and He said, you are robbing Me. And they said, where have we robbed you? And the Lord says, in your tithes and offerings. Now, I want to say very quickly that finances is just one area where you and I can keep back from the Lord that which is rightfully His. When I said to you that I believe that tithing is the basis of New Testament giving, it is because I believe that it would be wrong for me, under grace, to give less to the Lord than I would be expected to under law. Now, you might say I can't prove that from Scripture, but
I would show you that 1 Corinthians 16:2 says, as we have been blessed. And I want to tell you, if you want to count up the blessings that they had under the law, and then count up the blessings that we have under grace, and the provisions that God has given to us under grace, how could it be that we would not be willing to give under grace what God expected of His people under law? Giving is an act of worship and adoration. It's not a duty. It's not something that God says in the New Testament, you have to do it, although the Apostle Paul says it. He says, I've given this rule to the Galatians and to the churches of Galatia. I'm going to give it for you too, and you do it. And it was to lay aside on the first day of the week. And we'll come to that in just a moment. In fact, let's look at it now. God tells us when we are to give. That's on the first day of the week. And I believe that God, in telling us that, tells us where we are to give. For what are we to do on the first day of the week? We're to gather together as the Lord expects us to. So when we gather together on the first day of the week, the Lord gives a very clear teaching. And He uses words that can't be misunderstood. He says, let me read it to you again. Every one of you. Now, I can't say, well, look, I don't have as much money as everybody else here. That excludes me from giving. I'm sure I have never known poverty, and you have never known poverty like the Corinthian believers and the Macedonian believers knew. The Apostle Paul says, first of all, they give themselves, and then, even out of their poverty, they give willingly. They give willingly. But it says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. It's something that is between the believer and the Lord. It's not between the believer and the fellowship. It's between the believer and the Lord. But I believe that it is as much a command of the Lord as the remembrance of the Lord's Supper. It's as much a command of the Lord as baptism. It's as much a command of the Lord as loving one another. That I am to take what God gives me, and upon the first day of the week, let me stop and say, I can't tell you what to give. Because I don't know how God has prospered you. But I know in my own heart how God has prospered me. And God says, on the first day of the week, you have a responsibility before Him, and I have a responsibility before Him. And it's not my job to watch over and make sure you're keeping your responsibility. It's my job to make sure that I keep the responsibility that God has given me. See, God doesn't give a figure, but He gives us principles. You remember the story in the New Testament about the widow's mite? Was the story about how much she gave? Was that what Jesus was illustrating? No, because those leaders of the church and leaders of the Jewish religion gave much more than she did. It was proportionate to what she had. Indeed, one of the best ways of saying it is the Lord looks at what you have left, not what you have given. New Testament giving is a personal command to every believer to honor God with what God has given them. It is a joy, not a duty. Turn with me again to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I profess in my preaching and in my life to believe the doctrines of the grace of God. In verse 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the Apostle Paul says this: Therefore, as ye abound in everything in faith and utterance and knowledge, and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. What does it mean, a grace? What does it mean, a grace? It means that it is a manifestation of what God has done in my heart. A manifestation of what God has done by His grace. And what I want to do with you is go through 2 Corinthians 8 and some verses in 2 Corinthians 9 and just remind you of the statements that God makes about giving. Look what it says in verse 9 of chapter 8. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. The Apostle Paul sets forth Jesus Christ as the example of giving. And he says, he gave his all. He gave out of his riches for you and I who were in poverty, that we through his poverty might be made rich. So he sets before us the example of giving. And that's why I love verse 5, because the Apostle Paul tells the believers in Corinth that these believers who have given and first of all gave themselves, you might as well say to them, they're following the example that the Lord gave. They're doing what Jesus did. But let's look through. I wrote in my notes a quick trip through 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. I don't know I can do anything quickly these days, but we're going to try. Look what it says in verse 3. Beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. What does that tell us? That God expects us when we give to give willingly, not grudgingly. To give out of willing hearts. In verse 5, where it says, first of all, they gave themselves, I could only write down, give spiritually. Have a spiritual attitude to giving. A spiritual attitude that keeps your giving to the Lord. And remember, that's who you're giving to. You're giving to the Lord. That keeps your giving to the Lord in the context of living a life that is pleasing to Jesus Christ. Verse 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, abound in this grace. I invented a new word this morning, purely by accident. The last thing I did before I come out to the morning service this morning was write out my notes for this evening. And I started writing out gratefully. And in the middle of it, I thought I should have written graciously. And without thinking, I started the word gratefully and I finished the word graciously. Graciously, it sounded. But you know, both words are absolutely right. God expects us to give out of grateful hearts, graciously. God expects us to do everything that we do for Him out of grateful hearts, and to do it graciously. And again, the example is the Lord Jesus Christ. Then in verse 12, for if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. What's the apostle saying? He's saying give proportionally. The fact that someone else gives $1,000 to the work of God doesn't mean that you have to give it if God hasn't blessed you with $1,000. And what somebody else gives is nothing to do with me and nothing to do with you. I like John 21 when Jesus is speaking with Peter and he says to Peter, Peter, when you're old, they're going to take you and they're going to carry you where you don't want to go. And the Word of God says, this he said, signifying what manner of death he should die. Now the Lord's dealing with Peter in front of all the other disciples. He's trying to get Peter thinking in a straight line as to what's going to happen to him further down through his life. And what does Peter say? Peter seeth that disciple whom Jesus loved, and he said to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? And Jesus said to Peter, what is that to you? What is that to you? You know, I get worried sometimes about the things that other people are doing. And sometimes the Lord has to say, what's that to do with you? I can be every bit as nosy as Peter, you know. I could practice and become real good at minding other people's business. But that's not what God wants. You see, what we do in secret and what we give ought to be between us and the Lord. My Bible tells me the Lord one day is going to reward openly. If you do it openly, you have your reward of man. So what we give to the Lord is to be proportional to the blessing that He has given us. I'm not going to tell you who it was, but I know a couple who, after they got married, had their first argument at the end of the month. The reason was because the new husband had forgotten to tell his wife that on the last day of the month, when his new month's paycheck went in, he calculated what was in the bank and he wrote a check for that amount and he sent it to a missionary.
but we'll never be able to save.
But we'll never run short. What was he doing? He was committing himself to trust God to continue to provide and to continue to bless. It is absolutely no surprise that God has blessed that man with great wealth. But if you were to talk to him today, he would tell you that the blessing of God of great wealth is a tremendous responsibility before God. And I would sometimes rather not have than have the responsibility of being faithful in the greater things. So we're to give proportionally. That means you don't dare undermine what God has given you. You don't lessen what your view of what God has given you so that you can give less. But you don't promise things that God doesn't give you. Garland McKee has a story, and I listened to his tapes fairly often. He said the two men were talking, and he says one said to the other, if you had 500 bales of cotton, would you give me half? He said, sure, you know, you and I are great friends. If I had 500 bales of cotton, I'd give you half. He said, if you had 200 bales of cotton, would you give me half? If I had 200 bales of cotton, I would give you half. He said, if you had 2 hogs, would you give me one? He said, sure, you know I've got 2 hogs. But it's true, isn't it? We can show a willingness to give what God hasn't given us, but an unwillingness to give proportionally what God has given us. And then in verse 7 he tells us, turn over with me to chapter 9 and verses 5 and 6. Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had notice before, that the same might be ready as of a matter of bounty and not of covetousness. But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, but he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Give liberally. Now, I don't believe in the doctrine of prosperity now. That if I leave $5 in the offering plate tonight, I'm going to walk out and somebody's going to give me 10 or 50 or whatever they think God has promised. Don't give with a wrong motive. Don't give to get back. Give because God has blessed you. Give because God has poured out of his bounty towards you. Give according as God has blessed you. In verse 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. You notice, you're going to purpose in your heart what you're going to give. The word purpose literally means calculate. Some great words in this verse. Calculate.
As you calculate in your heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly, not because it's a law or a duty, not of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Anybody know what that word cheerful means, what it's translated from? That's absolutely right. Give hilariously. Comes from the Greek word hilaros. And it only has one meaning. The meaning is to bring joy through a merry heart. And the Apostle Paul says, the Lord loves someone who makes the heart of God happy. Give hilariously because you're giving to the Lord. Give cheerfully and remember that you will never, ever outgive God. You hear that? You will never, ever outgive God. I want to take a few minutes to speak to you about the use of that which is given to the work of God. First thing, I've already said it, it's not given to the work. It's given to the God of the work. And it's given for the upkeep of the work of God. We had a treasurer in Sanford who, when he gave a financial report, he would get up and say, we have managed to keep the building hot when it's cold and cool when it's hot because you gave. And every time, every month or every 2 months at the men's business meeting, he would remind us of the very practical ways in which that which is given to the Lord is used for the Lord's work. Not only in the upkeep of the building, not only in the keeping of us comfortable when we're in the meetings, but in the work of the assembly, the outreach, the preaching, the missionary work. How do you think the assembly gives so graciously to missionaries? They do so because God's people give so graciously to the assembly. The Apostle Paul, on two occasions in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, he speaks of ministry to the saints. I want to say something this, if I get myself into trouble in anything, it'll probably be this. But there is an area that not only, well, I don't know here, but many assemblies that I do know fall down very sadly. You remember back in the book of Acts, the widows were not being looked after. Those who were poor were not being looked after. I believe that there's a lot of that goes on today, where the people of God don't care for one another's needs the way they ought. You see, if I see my brother in need, the Bible tells me what to do. If the assembly sees a family in need or an individual in need, I wasn't going to tell you this story, but a mother who over a period of time had no work,
spoke to the Sunday school class in the little room at the back and asked them to pray. It was not only did she have no work, but there was no work in view. I don't know whether it was a case where the people of God should have known and stepped in and helped. But I know that the circumstances were told to the ladies group on Sunday morning, and they began to pray. And that lady called Barbara Wilson and left a message on her answering machine: stop praying. The Lord has sent me more work than I can possibly cope with. Isn't it wonderful that we can share the burden in prayer? It may have been that the Lord would not have sent work and the assembly would have had to help or needed to help. A mother bringing up her children. I don't believe in Christians unnecessarily putting their hands up. But I believe that when God says we are to love one another, it means that we are to love one another sometimes in very practical ways. I remember when I was at Bible college and finance was always a problem. I was one of those people who didn't have a very strong faith, so the Lord always tended to leave what He sent me to the last possible moment. Can I ask you a question? Should the finances of the assembly be something that's hit and miss? Should we have to stop giving to the missions? And I don't know what this financial situation is. And I don't speak with any particular need in mind. But I speak to you about a principle of the Word of God. That on the first day of the week, let every one of you lay aside as God hath prospered. I remember an elder telling me that he gave to the Lord, but he didn't give it to the assembly. He had two TV evangelists that he supported. Is that right? Is that where God expects us to give? He not only expects us to give, He expects us to give faithfully, and He expects the assembly to use what is given wisely and for His glory. I hope I haven't offended anyone tonight. I love you. I hope I never have to speak on giving again at Faith Bible Fellowship. This may be the hardest message I've ever had to preach. If you were closer, you would see the perspiration running in little beads. But I hope also that I have faithfully discharged my responsibility before the Lord. May God bless you as individuals, and may God bless us as a fellowship, that we will do that which is right in the right way for Him. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You and praise You that the great example of giving is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, who though He was rich, became poor. Father, we cannot even begin to fathom the poverty of the cross. He who left the throne of glory became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Father, we thank You that He suffered that poverty, that we might experience the riches of heaven. We are so richly blessed. We pray that we may indeed fulfill our responsibilities as those who have been richly blessed by you. In Jesus' name, Amen.